part of the Turing Foundation for the past 3 years or so. And for 2 years we were working with the Remix team, and for the past few months we've been working on this topic, how to make Ethereum more trustless. So we'll show you what we see as a problem, and then hopefully also get your input into what you see as a problem and how, what solutions could you maybe suggest or what you could commit to do so that as a community we bring these things forward and make it more trustless. So.
Right. Oh no. Yes. Okay, so that's basically like just a small introduction. There are many ways to introduce this, but the idea is that this represents like a dApp, and you could open a wallet to start making an interaction. And of course, Ethereum executes contracts the way it does, and there's no magic administrator that can do anything about it. But the thing is still, as a user, when you interact with a dApp, then yeah, you have some expectations what this is going to do and what the contract is all about. But if you don't have the source code and there's no way of easily verifying it, maybe your wallet will show you some data before you confirm the transaction. But generally, it's not so easy to say, is that what you're seeing and doing actually what is happening behind the scenes? And even if you do, how secure is it? Has it been audited? I mean, there's so many levels from having maybe a source code that is verified, that you know that this source code is actually the one that is deployed to that contract address that you interact with, to has it been analyzed, has it been audited? I mean, there's many different levels. And the situations can be improved to over what it is currently. Then, because if we don't do that, then basically you could use Ethereum as an alternative hosting solution like AWS. I have my backend, I'm using it as a backend, and it's supposed to be trustless, but if in the end you actually have to trust, then yeah, that's not a good situation to be in. So we have also some numbers and we have the source there, so basically that data is already a little bit older. So the numbers should be even higher, but like we have a lot of developers that come in touch and try out and learn about Ethereum and the broader ecosystem every month, like 50,000, that's actually a lot of them. And every month, like, I mean, it depends, it changes, but like it's 1.5 million contracts that are getting deployed to the chain, and more than 10 million contracts are on chain, but actually it's even more because the data is a little bit older, so contracts are getting constantly published, and every day also those numbers are fluctuating, but like 1.2 million contracts calls per day, so that's actually a lot. And the thing is that just when it comes to verified source codes, there are some, many of you are maybe familiar with Etherscan, but generally they're like in the thousands, not in the millions. So of course also some contracts are deployed many times over, but still the situation is not really as good as it maybe could be. And we were thinking what we maybe can do about it to improve it. So the thing is...
So what is also very important here, like we have all these numbers, but the problem is that apart from Etherscan, there is no other place where we could explore or store verified source codes. So that means that it's stored on a centralized place, and if they decide to put a paywall on, or I don't know, just don't want to open the data, that means that we have a trustless system where we have to trust the contracts, but we don't have access to these contracts. And we have to ask ourselves, is there even an incentive to share the Solidity source code, or what can we do to find out what would be the incentive? And as you mentioned, there is only a couple of thousands of them, but we have like over 10 million contracts currently on blockchain, so how do we get more verified source codes?
Yeah, and so the thing is, we were thinking maybe if we have like a neutral place that could be used to explore and find information whether there is a source code that is verified, whether it has been analyzed, whether it has been audited, maybe multiple times by different parties. There's so many things that you might want to know about yourself. Maybe you're an end user, you interact with a dApp and it uses a smart contract, or even multiple ones, or you're a developer and you want to use libraries, and maybe those libraries have been audited or not. Maybe the source code and everything is audited, but the contract itself makes calls to other contracts. So it's not kind of the source code, but then you also need to know about those contracts. And there's so many different situations that basically that it needs a whole ecosystem of projects and organization, and they all are active in slightly different fields, but I think they all need to work together because there's a lot of different aspects to this problem. Wait, one more thing. So the thing is, so that's the neutral place. Like, so basically, we need to collaborate, and there's many ways in which we can do it. One way which we were thinking were to have like some kind of open API standards in ways that we can basically use the different projects, services, or libraries, or whatever they're about, and mesh them and to improve the situation, because one project alone is hard for them to change everything. Like Etherscan has all the contracts, but then there's auditors, but then you have also dev developers and then you have also wallets. So everyone has like a user base and has some kind of expertise, and you would need to maybe change something and have like a standard or a way of doing things across those different kinds of organizations. And like each project alone might have a hard time of doing it because it requires others to maybe also change something. So that's maybe why the situation is not as good as it could be. And yeah, like we want to have it scalable and decentralized.
Yeah. So maybe we can now move to this. And this is why we started this project called Smart Contract Codes, which is basically a peer-to-peer database and a search engine for verified source code. So, do you maybe want to tell?
Yeah. I mean, let's just go over quickly. So the idea is maybe this could be a point where we can try out to improve the situation. And there are multiple aspects to this. Like one is we have a lot of data that is, for example, for the source code as such, we could publish them and then you have a way of retrieving them and maybe verifying them, but like still, there's a lot of auditors and also the wallets that might want to show certain information about this. And can we publish this? Does that need to be updated? Maybe a certain contract is updatable, or there's multiple versions and one has been audited but the next not, or maybe you don't only want to use part of the contract's functionality. Maybe you interact with like two functions and those maybe have been audited even though the rest has been updated. And all these things we need to do, and because the data is always changing, I mean, when you deploy the contract, that particular contract is immutable, but the whole list of contracts, there will be always new contracts and also maybe new versions of contracts. So in order to get all the, and also with the audits, that's kind of the same, like you audit maybe the next version of the contract. So all these updates need like a mechanism that you can also easily update and interact. And still, all in the end, even though updates are possible, you want to be able to trust or have it as trustless as possible. How do we do that? Like, the idea about this database is that we have, first of all, like a neutral place. So you could, of course, use the peer-to-peer network to retrieve all these kind of different information. But also, if you have an organization, like as an auditor, for example, you could have your own copy of the data set, but annotated. So for example, you could say, these are all the ones that I, contracts that we audited, and those kind of are the versions. And then this information could be used on one place, like this search interface, to display all the contracts that have been audited, by whom they have been audited, which versions, and there might be updates coming to this, but every node of the database, hosted by one particular person, organization, could update their annotations, and all these different data basically is merged or shown in like a mixed way. So that's why we also have this second part, the App Connect. Maybe I assume that many of you might know Remix as a in-browser IDE, and they have, and that's not the only project, but they have this approach of having plugins, and we want to see how we can maybe make it so that all these different, like whether they are wallets or whatever is their app or software that they're using, that we can connect them together in a way that like maybe a particular app or whatever the software is wants to reuse the code, or maybe we on the smart contract.codes would allow the connection or embedded, so it goes both ways. Well, plugin usually as a standalone thing, it's relatively useless. It only works as a plugin for something, but we want to be able to connect things. So then that way, let's say an auditor that displays their audited contracts could retrieve data from the, or maybe they have tools to analyze them. So they can use the database to import that data and show it on their page, but the other way around is also possible. So the search engine could, or the search interface could display or even offer those kind of services to for example, analyze the contracts and give the user, or even offer the service like there's an auditor that offers a certain service, and it could be a way for users to discover audited contracts and the way they work.
And because we want this database to be truly decentralized, so everyone can run a node, we're using that protocol, which can handle dynamic data sets. So because there is a database that, and we are constantly publishing new information to it, we can sadly not use IPFS for this, or it doesn't come out of the box. But as Christian will later show, the source codes will be stored on IPFS, probably, or this is one possible solution. But then we can fetch them and display them in this big database for everyone.
So yeah, this is, like I mentioned, wallets and auditors, but also, of course, developer tools. They support publishing source codes as an opt-in, or maybe ideally as an opt-out mechanism. That would also be useful. So somebody who really doesn't want to publish their source code, even though you could always put in the effort to decompile and figure out, because usually the source codes are meant to be small, because anyway expensive to have a lot of storage and computation going on the chain. That would be, of course, very useful. So now, we just picked like for each category that we see a few, I mean, not random, but like almost, like there's many more organizations or projects in each of those categories, but just to get like a feeling what we are, what we personally see, what are all the different players in the ecosystem that could contribute and do something to improve the status quo. But yeah, that's, we would love to discuss to get more input to maybe update or make the perspective on this a little bit broader.
Yeah, so there are Solidity developers, so people who develop Solidity code. Then you have dApps, basically like business owners or somebody who makes a concept of how this Solidity code should work. Dev tools which enable publishing to the network, which basically they could also publish to the database, and then everybody could see what is actually the source code of the dev they're using. Security auditors, of course, taking care of that the contract is secure, because verified means only that it does what it's supposed to do, but it doesn't mean that it's secure, so it can still have some bugs or something. Then we have infrastructure projects, which basically enable even that this whole thing exists, so to search for things and to publish. And blog and data explorers, which are basically running nodes and getting information from the blockchain, because if every one of us wants to get this information, it's a hard job, so we need to run it for like months. So we have, of course, like awesome tools that do that. And wallets, of course, because as would be the ones displaying this information that is stored in this peer-to-peer database. So what we wanted, this is like a short introduction of like what we do and how we are thinking about things. But now we would like to hear something from you, like, I don't know, how do you see the ecosystem? Maybe we didn't even manage to capture all the main actors and we forgot something. What are you doing in the space, and what is your role in these terms, like how to build more trust in the ecosystem? Does anybody want to start? Yay, thanks.
Ideally, we would also
like in a circle, like
I don't know if we should.
Kind it's of, rather just like.
Or you can come here, or just like.
Or just a, I don't know, it's a request. So, I am David. I have a phone that runs LinuxOS. which is the kind of open source version of Android. So I use Android applications a lot when I'm, for example, I want to use a wallet, a crypto wallet. And a lot of times I can download a crypto wallet APK from anywhere else, only from, like, pirated from Google Play. Not very many developers publish only on Google Play. Or if I can get the APK from their GitHub or from someone else, the APK is not signed with their PGP key. They don't even have a PGP key for their releases, so I can't really verify if it's really what I download is really what was meant to be installed on my phone. So, like, this is my reach out, my cry of help. So please learn PGP, make a PGP signing key, and always sign your releases, and also publish APKs on GitHub, on your website. And please, if you can and have the bandwidth for it, publish your application on F-Droid, such as my good friend Lingy does with his wallet, Wallet. Because, like, when I'm thinking of how to make this ecosystem trustless, I believe that is a crucial point of trust, you know, the applications that you put in your device in your use. So, yeah, that's what I wanted to say, and thank you for attention.
Well, that's actually a very good point, which we skip, like, probably many more. So the thing is, that would be super cool to have everything, all the software that enables this to work. I mean, many things are published to the app stores, but of course also on GitHub we have a lot of things. And yeah, they should of course always be ideally signed, and the keys should be known from the teams or people that publish, so that I can actually verify that what we use is coming from the right sources and is hopefully working the way it's supposed to work.
Just a thing, I think that basically we cannot do this with a microphone because this is going to be crazy. Should we just, like, start discussion, like, please?
I think the single most effective thing we could do is the compiler publishing the source codes, what's the name of that thing that you were talking about, the swarm hash, and then actually publishing the source to swarm without as a default. I think if we made that the default, then 99% of these pieces of source code would be available, because people wouldn't turn it off. And it would also promote an idea that we should all be publishing all of our source code, and we should all be interacting with smart contracts that have published source code. So we make the community ethos that the code is there. And if somebody wants to turn it off, then I would look at them and say, why did you turn it off? But I think that's the most effective by far. I think trying to get people to volunteer, you're going to end up 4 years from now with 3,200 published smart contract.
So Chris works in a Solidity team. Do you, Chris, know why is this not a default? Why, what are the obstacles?
So I think the compiler is unfortunately not the right tool to do this, and the main reason is, first, you do not know whether the source code that is currently being compiled is the final thing that will be published, or some random people are just testing some stuff. And second, the compiler may not even have access to the network, and the results might be, so the compiler is used to generate bytecode, and then bytecode is moved somewhere else and then published there. So, I think the tools that do the smart contract deployment should do that. So, and I agree, it should be the default, yes.
Okay. Is there any efforts to communicate that to the people that are writing that code?
I'm talking to them, yes.
And you built it, or, like, did you build some tool to enable that? Or you were just basically promoting the idea.
Yeah. I think that's also when we try to invite tool makers, so that they might consider to at least have, like, an opt-in, ideally probably an opt-out version to publish the source code, and I think also it's relatively new that, like, the IPFS address of source code would be published to when I deploy the code? Is that
so? The deployed bytecode of every smart contract has a hash of a JSON file at the end, and this JSON file contains information like the ABI, the compiler that was used to compile the source code, and also link hashes to the source code. So the integrity of all this is not the problem. The problem is the data availability here. And I think if we could get to a point where people publish that information at the point of deployment, then also the user experience of wallets, for example, would greatly improve, not only because you have access to the source code, but only because you have access. So this JSON file contains, I'm not sure if I said it, ABI, and also the nutspec comments of the functions. So whenever you have whenever your wallet asks you to confirm a transaction, it should not display this garbled hex string of data. It should actually fully decode all the function parameters and display the nutspec comment that is associated with this function.
So yeah, I mean, also we were thinking maybe, for example, wallets, they could display, like, if the data was available, so if tools all fully, if we in general like established this as a mindset that it would be better for everyone if we had the source code, because the Ethereum is meant to be trustless, but that's kind of a missing link, and if we don't do that, then why would we do all this in the first place? Then I can also just go back to how things always worked. But okay, so if we have that, and we maybe have the tools publishing this, and we are getting more source code, and this is also pretty cool, because then wallets could of course display if a certain transaction is happening with like a contract where at least the source code is known. But then ideally also any like auditor or any security related project could analyze the source codes easier, because there's many of them available, or even publish like a kind of annotation in which form, that's the question, but like basically having an opinion that this source code has been audited. And ideally we also get to standards, like what does it mean, what level of auditing happened, and who was it audited by, one organization or by many, and is there like even like a rating? I mean, there's so many metadata that could be generated that basically have like additional information, because the source code as such is like a good first step. So of course we need them to be available.
Okay, but this is for the future. What about for the past? Who were you working with? Your auditing contracts? Like, is there like would clients be up for sharing their code?
Yeah. So we are a security auditing company, and typically the majority of clients want to publish the fact that they have gotten an audit, and also want to publish the full audit report, right, which is uncommon compared to other industries. So it would, I think it would be great to highlight both positive and negative examples. So recently there was a famous negative example, which was Fairbit, right, where people looked into the contract and were like, there's definitely a problem here. And you could warn the user saying like, look, please don't put any more money in, because at the time that the vulnerabilities were published, people were still putting more money in. Not like, some people were saying it was money laundering, but that's another issue. So I think it would be great to kind of have like there could probably be like three different things. Like there could be like a check mark, like it has been audited, and when you click on the check mark you see like the full report, or there could be like a warning, and these could go to different sources, right? Like, so I mean, ideally of course this shouldn't just be us, and people shouldn't just all trust us, because that's not the idea, but like would be great. But anyway, there could be type check mark, and then you go to the different sources, and like so that anyone can provide their opinion.
But do you also audit sometimes like some code that is not like coming from the client, but you just analyze it anyway?
Yeah, so we often have dependencies that are already existing, right? So like some client code is using, I don't know, compound or maker or whatever. So existing dependencies that we then look at this.
And do you publish this data anywhere? Like, so this is in your know-how database or something?
Yes.
Would you be willing to share this information? Like,
sure, yeah.
I mean, we were thinking like if there was a standard, I mean, there's okay one standard, like what does it mean to have an audit and what levels and what kind of guarantees does it maybe give? But another one, if there was like a format, like a data format standard, then maybe, for example, I mean, in our project that would be useful, but generally wallets could use it to just like the basic level would be, yes, the source code exists, but like, what about has it been audited? So they could basically grab the data from and they know it's a standardized format, so they can display that. And hopefully all the wallets would use the same standard, so users get used to it. Ah, this is how it looks, and that's what it means. And maybe even if I click the link, I can see on chain in any maybe Block Explorer or whatever that this is what it means. They explain it again and show it, and that could improve. But also, one thing is that tool makers integrate this opt-in, opt-out version to publish source code, but if wallets would integrate this, this would also create another like pressure to maybe, or incentivization to publish source codes, because if users, every time they confirm now, see, oh, I'm interacting with all the time with contracts that kind of give me like a warning or something, that it hasn't been, the source code doesn't even exist, or maybe then later on, okay, it has been audited, but what does it even mean? Is it like how in-depth has it been audited? And then maybe users would even change their behavior and either demand this or maybe switch to alternatives that have it better audited, and then everybody would think like, maybe it should also publish or get an audit. So that would be one thing.
Perfect, Jan from Remix. We are discussing basically like what are the problems of getting the source code. And you basically just now introduced something that people who are building on Remix can publish the source code.
Oh, yeah. So that's like a good example. Yeah. So hopefully with more of
to the IPFS. So is it a default thing, or do users have to select? Or is it opt-in or opt-out?
They have to click on it.
Ah, so then
at the moment
opt-in.
They have to click, yeah.
All right.
But maybe it's possible to publish.
Do you have any like ideas why would what be better? Like, do
I'm
you
sorry? That you would automatically publish and let just users opt out, because maybe that would create more published systems.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I think at first I was a bit afraid of automatic publishing.
All right.
But now I talk to Christian. He said that's very interesting.
I feel like it should be
maybe opt out at least.
Yeah. We also have published as well.
So you are working on Brownie, which is a Python truffle in Python or
framework. Yeah. Yeah. I also feel that publishing like an opt out, it seems a bit. It's a large assumption to make.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
If it's someone working on something sensitive that shouldn't be published, and you just push it because they forgot to change the box, that seems a bit. But I think opting in is, I think it's a great idea. Yeah.
There's something halfway between not publishing and publishing the source. You can publish the function signatures and the encoded value. Basically a thing that you would get from the ABI file. You don't have to publish the entire source.
Just publish the ABI.
Just the strings of the functions and their corresponding encoded value, the 4-byte encoding. Mm-hmm. And then that way they could be a wallet could decode the function. But you wouldn't have published the person's source code without the permission. You've actually published something that's public anyway. So that may be a halfway point.
Yeah, but you can publish the metadata file without the source code.
Yeah.
Then you have, I mean, that also includes NatSpec, which might be sensitive.
Yeah, but I mean, if anyone is motivated, you could just go in the bytecode and look at the function selector, so.
Well, not anyone. Anyone very technical could, yeah. So you'd be helping the less technical
yeah.
people.
Is there a way to, I mean, if the deployment process is an interactive process, then that tool could also just ask where you have to answer with yes or no.
Yeah, that would make, like in an interactive process, yeah, but if it's just scripting,
yeah, sure.
Very, yeah.
If you're developing something sensible and you forget to check a box, you probably shouldn't be developing something sensible.
Do you want to add something,
maybe? No, the clap.
Yeah. No, but you were a wallet developer. What is, like, from your perspective, do you think that this data is...
Yes, I would love to display that, and I would also be aggressive there and just publish that. People that just do closed source stuff on blockchain, I think they should just be screwed. But I'm a bit radical there, so... yeah, but I know there's really against that, for example, like CryptoKitties that have this closed breeding function or stuff. But currently, I think we should just blame them. We should just really, but currently we would blame everyone, because that's also...
Oh, that's but where is the problem? I mean, do you think that like education would help, that if people just knew that this is important, they would do it, or is it like
to make it easier for them? So I think what is a really good step. So it's just easier because people have a lot of things to do. I understand that, and it's just an extra step. And they were kind of finished. And now there's an extra step. So it would be nice if it gets just easier.
That is built into their process.
And ideally, let people opt out. So
maybe it can also be a transition phase. We make it first like. In and then after some time,
like they did. Now it's like you have to check. Later is you have to uncheck.
I think like in the front end, like everyone is like used to that. Like all this code is like plainly visible. But like when it comes to back end, that was kind of never the case. And now with blockchain or smart contracts, it's kind of new, and maybe people just need to get used to it. But
a couple of things that come to mind. You mentioned about the function that's being displayed. There was an optimization that you can turn on in the compiler, which will just reduce the size of your contract by taking the contract names out, sorry, the function names out. So people will start turning that on to save on gas or upload. So you can't really rely on that. Also, the function names will probably be in English, and some of these French we don't understand
it. It comes down to defaults in the end, like what's on, because 90% of people probably wouldn't choose to do those types of things, so it would improve the situation.
Yeah, I suppose. What about having something like a secret source tag or something like that, where when you're writing the code, you have a little comment in it saying, "Oh, this function is secret source. Okay, it's closed. It's audited.
Right, yeah,
it has been audited, but we can't reveal this. Uh-huh. So, and then just call it secret source and say, there we are.
So this is
part of the whole contract.
Do you mean like that, like as an indicator to the developer tools to say, okay, I published everything, but not that part?
I'd say to make it so you don't actually include it, right? So it's not part of the upload, but you know, you've declared it as there's a good reason why this isn't displayed, because it's a trade secret.
It's probably then hard to verify the source.
But it has, but then you can have a tag on it. In order to declare it a secret source, you have to be audited by somebody who's reputable, and someone signs to say this was audited, but it's secret. If you want to find out more contact, this is the best for an NDA.
The verification would maybe fail because I don't have all the original source code, but like still it could be audited.
It's yellow, but not red.
Yeah. Okay, right.
I think when the editors are adding the code, if the thing is ready to public, they can just upload publish to some website. And when we upload to the website, we can use the compiling binary to do a hash and use that hash as an ID to save the code. And then when they deploy, they also use the hash. They also can get the hash, right? And then detect whether the code has been published. If yes, they can say whether you can use the link as a save to the smart contract that they deploy. And then when user use it, the link is there. If they want to check whether the source code, they can just, if they find a link there, they can check the source code. And when they click, they will go to the website to see the exactly the code there.
Yeah.
I mean, you should actually collect all these things. And the thing is, that's why you prepared this link right now, but like, not on the internet.
No, but
But one more thing that I wanted, sorry, just like, because Victor is from Blogscout, and they are actually also a source of getting the verified source code.
Thanks for having me. So I would like to add some comments what we have in Blogscout. So Blogscout is this open source blockchain explorer. So not only users can have centralized database of verified source codes. So what we provide for users, we have user interface for the application, and also what is more important, we have API for verification process. And what is important, users can should provide raw metadata like a compiler version, a source code, API. And contract will be verified and our centralized database. But what is more important, we have a point to get all these contracts. And we currently we understand we have no rate limits. So does this mean that everyone can get the copy of Blogscout verified source codes if they want? So of course we have a pagination because of 10,000 of verified smart contracts, something like that.
Through Blogscout.
Yes. So, and everyone, and this is more important that everyone can get it. So this is our current vision of decentralization, right? So everyone can get a copy of our database. So what I would like to add also, to go, I like your idea about decentralized database, and I think we would like to participate in that. So it can be another way. So in order to increase trustlessness, we need to increase the number of verified smart contracts, right? And what ways can we choose to accomplish that? I think there are four basic ways. The first one, we need to educate users as much as we can to create articles on GitHub, in GitHub repositories, on Medium, on forums, somewhere else, how to verify, how it's easy, what instruments we can use for verification. The second one is based on assumption that user will always forget to verify the smart contracts. Thus we need to somehow to embed a verification step into the all development tools we have for now, like desktop applications like Embark, Truffle, Brownie, whatever is alive. So to web applications, Remix, Play, right, MetaMask. So this is the second. So it's important to have a verification step on the deployment process.
As soon as you publish metadata and source code, verification is automatic. It's not an additional step.
You mean to publish where?
Swarm and IPFS.
Yeah, sure.
Cool. And so that's also the hope. So as soon as we publish this, then block explorers, so you don't need to go to the block explorer to verify your contract. The block explorer itself can do it, right?
Yeah, that's correct. But not everyone has publishing to Swarm, right? Not
sure, the tools need that.
Yes.
And this is now like for some that are already published and could come and verify, basically. I'm sorry, you wanted to say something.
Hi, I'm Nick, and I work on BPM, and our thing isn't so good, but I think these are useful for a lot of these problems. BPM is just like a standardized data format. It includes everything we talked about, bytecode, source code, APIs. Also specifies deployment data, so you can also, in terms of getting this strong verification, you can add on-chain deployments, so you know you're interacting with the DAI you're supposed to interact with, whoever's wallet address. Check out EPM. We're in Brownie, we're in Remix, we have a plugin, we're in Truffle. It's just a very good way to pass around safely your smart contracts. Love to see more integration, tooling. Come talk to me, happy to help. Website, documentation, we have a registry store.
Is there one way to do it to actually have the, if I'm able to build that contract and it's binary identical with what's deployed, then I know everything about it. I know all the dependencies and stuff like that, so I can do anything I want to verify it and run all the tests and everything like that. And to do that, you don't need that much information, because if you know the project and the git commit, then I can get that code and I can build it, and it's exactly what's deployed. I can do anything there. Gary and I wrote one of the Bitcoin wallets, and we were really worried about the dependency attacks. Something changes one of the libraries that we use, it gets into our code and it's a little wallet stealer. And so Gary wrote a little verifier on all our dependencies that nobody changed anything without our knowledge. But that's in the build tools, and that's well away from what the users will see. But if someone can rebuild it and you get identically what's deployed, you learn a lot from that. And you can automate it as well.
Yeah, how can you make that if it's a little bit smaller?
This is one angle. The other angle is the upgradability of the smart contracts. So yeah. Maybe he's talking about dependency, and also how about having a proxy smart contract and changing the business logic of the what you are pointing to. So this is also should be also considered.
Yeah. Yes,
yeah.
Definitely.
One thing is to display what is verified in the sense of like bytecode matches actual smart contract, compilation result. But another thing is, is it safe and all this additional information, or is it using oracles, and like is it depending on oracles so that the users know that they're interacting with something that could maybe be corrupt? So we would like to be able to, smart contract code is just an interface, but what we want to focus on mainly is the database.
Yeah.
And
so the thing is, like, we're already scraped together quite a lot of source code, but now if the situation changes, and in the future, maybe the developer tool will always, ideally automatically, but okay, let's publish the source code, let's say to IPFS or Swarm, then all of them are available. Now the question is still, where do we get the list of all of them? So maybe there can also be a solution for this, and then we can start annotating them, because once we...
Would it be better if you got them to come to you rather than you come to them? So if you can incentivize it for kind of like an auditing company, then they can earn continuous revenue by auditing this, putting it on your database,
because
you act as a gateway. So that if somebody says, oh, I want this thing, I want to verify this this smart contract, I can see the market is yellow, I want to know why. Okay, they click the button and says, oh, that will be a token amount, right, it'll cost you half a pence. And then
just one comment before I give you a word, but like, it's not our database. That's, I think, the whole point, because
so
like, everybody can run a node, and then if you run your node, you can add more data, and I run my node, and I can sync. I have like some logic built in that I
get the decentralized system that runs this.
This is the most, because nobody wants to empower somebody who grabs the data.
Understood.
Yeah.
Okay, we're all about decentralized.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, my point is, I'm misspoken, right? My point is that you incentivize the actors within it so that they can each earn money off each other. So that way they want to grow the system so they continue to get revenue by people getting sort of requesting audit reports.
Yeah.
And so they can charge for the audit report.
So
that gives an incentive for the auditor to audit as many things as possible and then make those reports available. And also the people who wrote the smart contracts, if they do them correctly, they get a share of the audit report revenue.
Yeah. So that's another challenge that Zine, for example, see, like even if all the smart contracts, for example, by adding something to the developer tools, would be published to IPFS or Swarm, and of course on-chain we have, and of course the metadata too, and then on-chain we have like a hash to verify that this is the right metadata, still, where do I get the list of all of them? So it would be good to also find one way to publish the list of all the metadata, or all the links at least, like all the IPFS hashes that exist.
Is there so my plan is to write a small tool that constantly monitors the blockchain for newly created contracts and create a gigantic IPFS database that contains all source codes of all published, all smart contracts.
So the hash that is on-chain contains the address too?
how will you update this one?
Whenever there's a new contract published, how do you find the address where it's published? Is that on chain?
For
is it using a topic on
no, PhD no, 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 like,
and then
like, the developer tool has a source code, publishes it to IPFS, and the developer tool then returns maybe to the user the address, or I have the source code anyway, so I can figure out the address, but then I publish it to the chain, but and now somebody detects that there's a new contract on chain, but how do I know where that source code is stored? I mean, it's stored now, and if I had the source code, I
the hope is that the deployment tools publish it to Swarm or IPFS. And then you can grab it via the metadata and the link in the metadata, and then keep it persistent in that big data.
Where do I get the metadata from?
From the hash link in the bytecode.
So the hash link in the bytecode contains the address of Swarm or IPFS for the metadata. All right, so then that would be perfect. So if that happens and all the tools will publish, then you could go to the blockchain data, get all these addresses, and slowly pull them all and fill them into one database. And then the system that we are currently using is a little bit like a version-controlled torrent system. So the more peers, so you can update that torrent. The address doesn't change. So for example, auditors could run it and make their annotations. So they can say, okay, this one has audited up to that level and so on. But also maybe other organizations could start saying, I annotate this contract into somebody, somewhere on a smart contract, stake some money because they want an audit. But maybe the audit, to do the whole audit is a little bit expensive, so maybe we publish that and then we could retrieve all these data and see, there's like a lot of contracts that have stakes and we just show those. And maybe that's already a selection, like that's an interesting contract, maybe it's a library that does certain things that we could use to build other smart contracts. And now this one seems to be a very interesting library, let's stake more, and then maybe also auditors could use that to bid to actually do the audit and then get paid from that. And so that could be additional incentives. So one is like about figuring out if somebody's willing to stake some money to pay for an audit. Another one could be publishing like audits or kind of other kind of metadata that some organization that analyzed things thinks that this contract has an opinion about that contract, and that's maybe also valuable. So that kind of system would work, but of course, you first need like the basic data set. And so,
François,
wanted to add something? Yeah, well, the Freebox interface inside Remix is a plugin recently, and we're thinking about. Because sometimes you want to build your smart contract, you want to keep it private because for any reason, maybe it's not finished, maybe it's not edited or whatever. Then you want to make it published like any social network. And with Freebox is exactly the kind of thing they do. They are just creating like your own box based on your Ethereum address. And then you can even like flag this contract, I build this contract, and then you can create a whole social network, and then it's actually incentivized without any question about staking any money on whatever, because you're just saying like in GitHub, oh, I built this contract, you know, and then I have the record of all the contracts I'm building. This is another way of incentivizing without having to publish everything. Just saying, okay, I built this contract, and maybe then you have someone that can just give an annotation on the slide saying, oh yeah, I audited this contract, I think it's good, and he's putting his name on that thing. So that's another way of incentivizing without thinking always with cryptocurrency. Like,
he didn't speak yet, so if you
don't mind. Yeah, I work on Alpha Wallet, one of the apps. A huge part of our effort is working on something we call TokenScript. It's open source and we submitted it to OSIS for standardization. But basically, it's a layer on top of smart contracts. So within the TokenScript client, if you want to make a call to a smart contract, you write it in the XML file, which we provide the schema for. By declaring it in the XML file, that means you have to specify exactly what is the function name, the argument type, and so forth. So one thing it helps is when the user makes a smart contract call from within the TokenScript client, within a wallet which supports TokenScript, we can display the function and the arguments, you know, what it does. So a user who knows what it is can see what's being called. And I think which is more important is because it is built and transported as one single cloud. we can let the author of the XML file sign it, expressing trust for the smart contract. So when the user uses it, it'll be like using a web browser. You visit a website, you see a lock, and you can click on the lock and see that this is verified by who, and this is a certificate issued for this domain, yahoo.com.
I think we should collect all these things, because that's exactly the thing. Like, there are maybe standards and certain ways of doing things, but yeah, that's what we need to
do. And what is the most important thing, because if we are talking about the decentralized Ethereum and trustlessness for real, we cannot rely on any centralized authority who will say this is certified or not.
No, this is based on the chain of trust, because you can trust that the signer of this file is asserting that this smart contract can be trusted. Because as a user, when you use a wallet app, you're not going to look at the source code on the contract. But it's very unlikely you will go and look for the source code. And even if you can find the source code for the smart contract, how do you associate that back to the button which you're clicking? Is that going to call that smart contract? But if you see a lock, like when you are in the web browser, you see that it has a valid HTTLS certificate, then to a certain extent, because you know that this certificate is issued by, say, VeriSign, by chain of trust, you trust that this website is who they say they are, and you can trust that you can buy products from this website using your credit card chain of trust.
So you wouldn't have to use, you know, the regular CA service, because you've got CCDs, you've got the elliptical curve signing anyhow. So you just sign by, it could still be pseudonymous, like the, if you control an address, then there's a private key behind that address. You can sign by that. So you might have something that's created by a pseudonymous key. Everybody knows who they are because they're signing by a well-known address, and that has never changed since the start of the project. So you don't have to rely on VeriSign or anybody like that. You might as well use the elliptical curve technology to do the signing.
So maybe we should have a place, like originally we thought about a document, maybe how do we collect all these things?
Yeah, because we're kind of having the last 5 minutes. I just wanted to add, because we have GISO also from SUPO, which is also like tool for security analysis. Do you have any thoughts? Because I invited him especially and like you didn't have any opportunity.
Already skipped like at the early discussion. So we're the security audit firm. We also have like Fuller Verifier and also a section tool. But what we focus is more developer friendly way. The reason for that is actually we care about the code privacy. So what we thought was like we have to publish all the source code on the Swarm or like anywhere. But most of our clients, it might be like it's Korean culture, but they doesn't want to share their code before publish, because
we have the changes.
Yeah, so we have to build some technology for which is keeping the code privacy. So what we extract from the source code is some code pattern, not just source code exact, but more abstracted code, like intermediate node, intermediate language like that. So we extract it and then make a signature of them, and then we just and the clients give just that signature. So based on our vulnerability database, we just search from our database, so we doesn't need like original source code. So it's similar to the like traditional Java software, like NPM's vulnerability analysis platform, or the Android Play project. So it could be achieved more code privacy first and developer friendly needs for the audits.
But maybe you could offer, you know, like some premium service, so if somebody wants to
no,
do like
actually
a hardcore
already, like, publish all the signature from that we fetched from the wild Ethereum world. So
in terms of trustlessness, I was thinking that maybe you could offer them
yeah,
like
we,
a premium service.
We can also
service.
Like publish on the Swarm or more decentralized software to anyone to use it. And
I mean the way it's maybe a little bit early, but like the way we were thinking about supporting that kind of use case, like if you want to publish the contract with a full audit, or maybe you just want to say that the contract that is behind an address is private, but we have an audit about it that we share fully or just like parts of it, or maybe in the future you want to share more, or you share it the next one. This peer-to-peer database node, that is, it's open source and you can run it. You have a a global public address as a public key, and it's like a torrent, which means you can start adding all this kind of information to that torrent that is globally available through the public address, and you with a private key, or your organization is the only one that can add data. But everybody who's also running the same node, they might also be auditors or other parties that can do the same, and they have an address, but those nodes sync. So everybody will also, the same as a torrent, can retrieve all that data from you, so that if they, at any point in time, even if in one particular time your server or database goes down, everybody who already synced the database still has the data available as a read-only version, but it means like all the information about which conflict was audited or what kind of information published is available in the same standardized format than it is available by all the others, which could then be used to display either in wallets or in any kind of application certain information that comes from that decentralized system where you have where you can publish as much data as you want and it doesn't cost you anything and update that, you make it available in that format, so wallets could show that there's an audit happening or...
And the most important thing is that like nobody is one maintainer, mm-hmm. and there is not like database of everything everywhere, but nobody collects them, or if they do, then they have like crazy power because then they have all the data. So this kind of system could help us that we all share this data if we commit to do something like this, or if you find better ways, thank God. I mean, but this is like our suggestion. So
we were even thinking like that could help, because I was like on point in the very beginning when you have one contract and then you have a new version of that contract, so the author could continuously publish the different versions and they would all be available version controlled through all the different versions over the lifetime of that contract, and because they're in that same standard system, you could, for example, not even publish the entire source code, but like if you wanted to do that, you could basically point to that address of that source code and annotate it, and that annotation is basically controlled by your private key, while the update of the source code is controlled by the private key of the author or the organization that develops it further.
It's not a question, it's about a suggestion. You are thinking about a solution on top of the protocol itself, on top of the net itself. However, did you have any idea of interacting with the Ethereum community to implement the solution or part of the solution to be part of the protocol itself? Let me imagine this. The compiler is a standard of the compiler. When it compiles a smart contract, it's going to generate a state field representing this contract is certified or not, and the level of certification. / two embedded functions out of the box coming from the compiler that change the state of the level of certification. So this is in the protocol layer. On top of that, whatever solution you can build that benefits from this change in the protocol itself.
I mean, the certification is a problem because if you mean by certificate that it's secure, that somebody did the audit, that's hard because then we have to trust certain parties. But if you mean verification in the sense that we have access, that this address we can easily match to a certain source code, this could potentially work, but as you said, there are problems like first,
you can't solve the data availability problem.
Yeah, and the compiler cannot publish, it doesn't live on the internet, so it's not possible practically.
No, I'm not saying
Notes?
That you
You're
publish. When you generate the bytecode, partially part of the compiler job is to produce functions that's not exist in the actual source code that enable a certificate authority to verify the smart contract. Also, to have a state variable representing if this smart contract has been verified or not, or certified or not.
I think
this concept is way too complicated to easily embed it in storage. Because what does verification mean? Some person said something about that smart contract. You can't assign a number.
Assume probably there would need to be first a solution to develop some kind of best practice. What all this kind of even means, what levels, and how should that even look like? And then once this is established, and it probably takes some time, then maybe in the future somebody could think of this, and maybe that makes actual sense. But
they showed me that time is up. But I would love that we could. I mean, this is a super interesting discussion, and we cannot solve it alone. So
we need to set up a discourse group.
Yes.
Yes.
This is the question: discourse or Telegram or what? Can we vote?
I would
who
say
is for Discord?
Discord? Discord, because it's much more accessible. Mm-hmm.
And Telegram? Okay.
Email?
Email? Do we have emails?
If we have emails,
then we can send
it. Everyone was excited on a nice interactive
yes.
way of being able to do
yes.
it. Then just send out emails.
Or
email.
GitHub,
whatever.
Yeah.
Gitter? Everybody uses Gitter?
Yeah.
So long as you can have topics with conversations. That's all you
thank you very much
for the patience.
And for coming, this is awesome.